Good to see you all. Came out in the cold, icy roads. I think it's kind of fun to drive around on all the icy roads and stuff. But tonight, I have finished up. I was going through Ephesians, and I finished that up, so I thought I'd start in on the book of Peter. So if we could all turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be going through 1 Peter tonight. There's kind of a theme that I noticed because I was reading over this, going through 1 Peter, and it's kind of a theme of maintaining a good attitude when going through trials, maybe I'd say. It's kind of a theme that runs through the book of Peter, and he ties that in kind of with the hope we have and all sorts of other things. So as we go through this book, hopefully we can bring some of this stuff out. So let's read a chunk of it here in the book of 1 Peter and chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, unto the chosen pilgrims of the dispersion throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, favor unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, reserved in the heavens for you, who in God's power are being guarded through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Wherein ye exult, though for a little while, just now, if needful, put to grief in manifold temptations, in order that the proving of your faith, much more precious than gold, that perishes, even though by means of fires it is proved, may be found unto praise and glory and honor in the revealing of Jesus Christ, whom, not having seen, ye love, on whom, though not presently looking, but believing, you exult, with joy unspeakable and filled with glory, being about to bear away, at the end of your faith, a salvation of your souls, concerning which salvation prophets, who concerning the favor for you did prophesy, sought out and searched out, searching into what particular or what manner of season the Spirit of Christ which was in them was pointing to, when witnessing beforehand as to the sufferings for Christ and the glories after these, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they were ministering them, which things have now been announced to you through them who have told you the good tidings with the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, into which things messengers are coveting to obtain a nearer view. Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, keeping sober, perseveringly direct your hope unto the favor being borne along to you in the revealing of Jesus Christ. As obedient persons, not configuring yourselves to your former covetings in your ignorance, but according as he that hath called you is holy, do ye yourselves also become holy in all manner of behavior, inasmuch as it is written, Holy shall ye be, because I am holy. And if, as Father, you are invoking him who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, with reverence for the time of your sojourning behave ye, knowing that not with corruptible things like silver or gold have you been redeemed from your unmeaning behavior paternally handed down, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished, blemished, and unspotted, of an anointed one, foreknown before the foundation of the world, but made manifest at a last stage of the times, for the sake of you who through him are faithful towards God, who raised him from among the dead, and glory to him gave, so that your faith and hope are directed towards God, having purified your souls by the obedience of the truth, unto unfeigned brotherly affection, from the heart love one another earnestly, having been regenerated, not out of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through means of the word of a living and abiding God, inasmuch as all flesh is as grass, and the glory thereof is as the flower of grass, the grass is withered, and the flower is fallen out, but the declaration of the Lord abides forever. And this is a declaration which in the joyful message has been announced to you. All right. So Peter starts off writing to us, and he's writing to all the chosen people of the dispersion throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So everybody that's been dispersed abroad. He says they were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's kind of an interesting thing. first off, he starts, God foreknew them, and he chose them in sanctification of spirit. So in other words, their spirit is set aside as holy. So we can learn from this that when God has chosen us, if we are chosen by God, what's different about us that makes us different from everybody else who's not chosen by God is we have a different spirit. We have a special spirit that's been set aside. We ought to be different in that way. He says, favor to you and peace be multiplied. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead. And that is very true because Jesus was risen from the dead, Jesus had a certain spirit. Because of the spirit that he had, and because he had a Holy Spirit, and because he was good, God did not allow him to die, but raised him from the dead and gave him life forevermore. And in the same way, we share that hope. That if we have a sanctified spirit, if we have his spirit within us, God will also, in like manner, not allow us to die, but will also raise us from the dead and take our spirits to live with Jesus in heaven. So we do indeed have a hope. And we have this hope through Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. He says, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, reserved in the heavens for you, who in God's power are being guarded through faith unto salvation. So, we have this hope of going to heaven. We have this hope because of our faith. And now we know our faith is made up of the things we believe. And the things we believe that are true about God. So as we learn about God, and we understand the things that God has written for us in His Bible, and we believe and accept these things and hold to them, then we have that spirit within ourselves, and then we have that faith, and that faith guards us unto that salvation. He says, wherein ye exult. So we're really happy about that. That's something to be very joyful about, that we have a hope of not dying, but going to heaven with Jesus. He says, though for a little while, just now, if needful, put to grief in manifold temptations. So, this is a true thing. We all partake in life's, you know, this version says temptations, but it's trials. We all partake to one degree or another in life's trials. We all go through them in our various ways. But he says in verse 7, in order that the proving of your faith, being more precious than gold, even though it's refined by fire. So he's kind of drawing an analogy between gold. So you got the gold ore, and you're mining it out, and you got the gold ore in with all the other rock, and you put it in the fire, and you melt it all down, and all the impurities are burned out and burned away and become slack and dross, to be sure. But the pure gold is refined, and in there it's pure gold. So he's drawing that to an analogy of us and our faith. And he's bringing out the concept that because we have this hope in God, and because we believe in that, even though these trials that we're going through may be fire, that proves our faith. If our faith comes out in the end and it's pure, that's a very precious thing. Kind of like the gold in the fire. Everything else that isn't pure gets burned off. But that pure faith is very precious that remains. And he's going to go on to talk about that. He says, our faith may be found unto praise and glory and honor in the revealing of Christ Jesus. Because at some point, Jesus Christ is going to be revealed. If you think about what he did on the cross, you know, as an umbrella statement, forgave the man that killed him. So even though he was going through some serious trials, his spirit was still good before God. Based on his belief and understanding and knowledge of who God was, he was still good in his spirit before God when going through serious trials. Now on the other side of that, God glorified him and put him first place in all creation. And someday, when the creation is done away with, it will be revealed who Jesus was and what a good thing he was. If in the same way, we go through our trials in our life, and we maintain a good spirit, and we maintain a good attitude, and we maintain a good hope, even though we're going through the trials, then that proving of our faith will be revealed in that day with Jesus to have been a very good thing. And that's what God's seeking for. That's what God thinks is precious. That's what He's looking for. He says, may be found unto praise and glory and honor in the revealing of Christ Jesus, whom not having seen you love, and on whom, though at present not looking but believing, you exult with joy unspeakable and filled with glory, being about to bear away the end of your faith, a salvation of your souls. Because if we keep a good attitude and we keep and hold our faith throughout our trials in this life, that is what we will bear away at the end of it all, is the salvation of our souls. He says, concerning which salvation, prophets, who concerning the favor for you did prophesy, sought out and searched out, searching into what particular or what manner of season the Spirit of Christ which was in them was pointing to, when witnessing as to the sufferings of Christ and the glories after these. So all these prophets that used to prophesy about Jesus, there's a lot of prophets who used to prophesy, and they'd prophesy about the sufferings He was going to go through, and then they'd prophesy about the glory that would happen to Jesus, and they wanted to know what exactly it was, and they couldn't quite see what it was because it hadn't been revealed yet, but now it has been revealed. And like he says, it was the sufferings of Christ and the glories that followed. Yes, he went through sufferings. Because he did it with such a good spirit, God glorified him, put him in first place of all creation. It was revealed to them, in verse 12, that not unto themselves but unto us they were ministering, which things have now been announced to you through them who have told you the good tidings with Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, into which things messengers or angels are coveting to obtain a nearer view. So, these are things that angels are interested in. He says, then in verse 13, therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, keeping sober, perseveringly direct your hope unto the favor being aborned along to you in the revealing of Jesus Christ. So, girding up your loins, or girding up the loins of your mind. So, girding up your loins is pulling up your pants, you're tightening your belt, you're getting all set up, you're getting ready to have action and move, you know? So you're getting ready. So you're girding up the loins of your mind. You're going to set your mind. You're going to have a certain mindset. He says, perseveringly direct your hope unto the favor being aborn along to you in the revealing of Jesus Christ. There, God is going to be very, 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 very happy with Jesus and His behavior when Jesus is revealed. When the earth is done away with and God takes us all to heaven, He's going to be very happy with Jesus. And if we, in the same way, imitate Jesus, He's going to be very happy with us. And He says, perseveringly direct your hope towards that. So as you're going through the trials in life that you're going through, whatever they may be, perseveringly gird up your loins, gird up your mind, and direct your hope to God's good job, well done, good and faithful servant, that is coming to you because of the good spirit and the good attitude and the good mindset that you've maintained throughout. That's what he's saying to us there. He says, as obedient persons, not configuring yourselves to your former covetings in your ignorance, but according as he has accordingly as he that hath called you is holy, do ye yourselves also become holy in all manner of behavior, inasmuch as it is written, holy shall ye be because I am holy. So, that was written to them way back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, when God was going through the difference between the clean and the unclean, the difference between the good and the bad and the acceptable and the not. He would write to them, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you are going to be my people, you need to be holy. And it's still the same today. If we are going to be God's people, we need to be holy. There is a difference between things that are clean and things that are not clean. Things that we should be engaging in and things that we should not be engaging in. Now take this to a spiritual view. Spiritually inside, there are things that are clean and there are things that are not clean. There are spirits and attitudes that we should have that are good, and there are spirits and attitudes that we should have that are not good, that we should not have and we should abstain from. Sanctified in spirit. Remember, we started out with that. Spirit is different than everybody else. Not used for an unclean purpose, used for a clean purpose, our spirit should be. He says, if as father you invoke him who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, with reverence for the time of your sojourning behave. Knowing that not with corruptible things like silver or gold have you been redeemed from your former behavior, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and unspotted as of Christ. You know, if we're calling God Father, we're going to invoke Him as Father, then there ought to be a certain amount of reverence that goes with invoking God as Father. It's not like that when God made this covenant with us, that He brought this all about and it was a price that was paid for us with value, physical value, like gold, silver, money, or anything like that. The value was, just like in the Old Testament, a lamb, a perfect lamb, no spot or blemish in the perfect lamb. It was like that, but with Jesus' Spirit, no spot or blemish in that whatsoever. His precious blood. Someone who had done no wrong. Someone who had always only done good. That was the blood that brought this covenant in. Very precious blood. It was God's Son who that happened to. Because of that, we have an opportunity to be in this covenant with Him, and there's a certain amount of respect and reverence that goes along with that, that we ought to have towards God at all times. He says, Jesus was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but made manifest at this last stage of the times for the sake of us who through Him are faithful towards God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that our faith and hope are directed towards God. He says in verse 22, he says, having purified your souls by the obedience of the truth unto unfeigned brotherly affection, from the heart love one another earnestly. I find this interesting that having purified our souls by the obedience of the truth, once we have obeyed the truth unto unfeigned brotherly affection, if we have become obedient to the truth, the result of that is brotherly affection towards one another. If we do not have brotherly affection towards one another, we have not obeyed the truth. He says, from the heart, love one another earnestly. That ought to be the result of it. It says, having been regenerated not out of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible, through means of the word of a living and abiding God. And then he goes on to give a little example. He says, inasmuch as all flesh is grass, and the glory thereof is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. So God is speaking to us here. God is teaching us here through Peter and through all the Bible. He's teaching us these things. He's speaking that word to us. If we have faith in Him, in other words, we hear His words and we believe in His words and we accept His words and His word abides in us, and we have that faith and we have been regenerated by His word is incorruptible. And if that is inside us, then we are incorruptible, and our spirit is incorruptible, having been regenerated by the Word of God, which abides forever. Because flesh is grass. And it really is. You know, when you're young, it's like pretty flower. You know what I mean? You got muscles. And you know what I mean? The glory of the flesh is, when you're young, it's there, and it's, you know, pretty and good and everything, and it's grass. It's a pretty flower. It's pretty, and then it fades rather quickly and dies, and the flower falls off. And it's gone. But the word of the Lord abides forever. The regenerating word of God that He gives us through His scriptures, if that becomes internalized within us, that abides forever. And this is the word that He is giving us, that we ought to obey the truth, and ought to have brotherly love, and take it a step further, earnestly love one another from the heart. He says, this is the declaration which in the joyful message has been announced to you. Go on into chapter 2, he says, putting away therefore all vice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envyings and all detractions, as newborn babes for the pure milk that is for the mind eagerly crave, that thereby ye may grow unto salvation, if you have tasted for yourselves that gracious is the Lord. He says, putting away all vice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envying, all detractions, all those things, as newborn babes for the pure milk that is for the mind eagerly crave. I like the analogy of a newborn babe. When Tiffany was a brand new baby, all she did was sleep and eat. All she wanted was milk. She wants milk. That's all she wants. She gets milk. She's happy for a little bit, and then she goes to sleep, and then she wakes up and she wants more milk, and by that she grows. That's how we ought to be. This is what we want. We want this word. We want it in us. That's what we're seeking. We're seeking to get that declaration of God within us, that we might abide forever. He says, thereby we may grow unto salvation, if you have tasted for yourselves that gracious is the Lord. I think all of us here that have a little bit of knowledge of God, especially with the revealing of Jesus, have come to understand. It's like this morning. Who was preaching it this morning? When all 120 priests stood there with trumpets and blew their trumpets in unison at the pinnacle of the song and the singing when they dedicated the temple. And right at the pinnacle of the song, all the instruments sounded together with one voice and all the singers hit the note and 120 trumpets blew. And what were they singing at that point at the pinnacle of the song? For he is good. And his loving kindness abides forever. That one pinnacle of the song, that's what it was. If we have come and gotten to know God a little bit and have come to understand that he is good, and he is very loving and kind forever. Yeah. Long for that pure milk of the word, that by it we may grow in respect to salvation. It says, unto whom coming near as to a living stone, by men indeed rejected, but with God chosen, held in honor. Yourselves also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices well-pleasing unto God through Jesus Christ. Inasmuch as it is contained in Scripture, lo, I lay in Zion an utmost cornerstone, chosen, held in honor, and he that resteth faith thereupon shall not be put to shame. Unto you then is the honor, unto you who believe, but to such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become head of the corner, and a stone to strike against, and a rock to stumble over. Who stumble because unto the word they do not yield, unto which they also have been appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a peculiar treasure, that the excellencies you may tell forth of him who out of darkness has called you into his marvelous light. He says, coming near to Jesus, it's like coming near to a stone that was rejected by the builders. But that was the very stone that God chose to be the corner of it all. And if you look at the nation of Israel, they did that. They rejected Jesus. In fact, if you think about Jesus and his spirit and God's spirit, we all did that. We rejected that. We rejected the humility and the kindness, the love, the patience. Rejected that. We took our own way. He said, but with God, that was chosen, held in honor. That's what God chose. God did not choose the strongest. He didn't choose the smartest or the wisest or the greatest. He chose the humblest. God chose that stone. He says, coming near to that stone, by God held in honor, we ourselves also are being built up into a spiritual house for a royal priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices well-pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. He says, he that resteth faith thereupon shall not be put to shame. And he says, unto us then is the honor who believe. To us then also is that honor if we believe on it. But to such as disbelieve, it's a stone to strike against and a rock to stumble over. And they stumble because they are unyielding to the word. They do not believe the declaration, nor accept the declaration which God has given. Therefore, they stumble over it. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a peculiar treasure, that the excellencies you may tell forth of him who out of darkness has called you into his marvelous light. So that's what we're doing. As we accept the declaration which God has given to us, as we are regenerated in our spirits, as we are building his faith within us, we are able to proclaim his excellencies. Him who called us out of the darkness and into his light. He says, at one time you were a no people, but now you are a people of God. You had not been receiving mercy, but now you have received mercy. He says, beloved, I exhort you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly covetings such as take field against the soul, having your behavior among the Gentiles honorable, in order that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, they may, owing to the honorable works which they are permitted to behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So that ought to be our behavior. We ought to abstain from fleshly covetings, which are taking the field against us, which are negative towards us. Some of these fleshly covetings might look like, in the start of chapter 2, fleshly covetings are probably stuff like vice, deceit, hypocrisy, envyings, and all other detractions such as those. They're going to take the field against us. They're not from God. They're from our flesh, based on appetites and wants, covetings that we have. They don't do us any good. He says, keep your behavior honorable, in order that in anything that anybody says, they kind of end up having to glorify God, because we have good behavior. That's how we ought to be. Going to go ahead and shut her down right there. Thank you guys all for coming out. Thanks for your time.